You ever wished you were more mature? You ever been in a moment or a situation where your lack of maturity was especially evident? As somebody who used to be younger than I am now, I can appreciate that thought. I've been there. As somebody who is a minister, I felt that last week. And even this morning. It occurs to me that maturity really demands age and at least experience. And yet, age and experience does not necessarily bring about maturity. There are people who have been through things, but they haven't learned from those things. There are people who are older, and yet they are still immature. So how can I develop maturity, particularly as we think of the faith? How can I mature as a Christian? You know, when you have learned from your experiences, when you have been through things, it then can be a joy to go through life. Maybe those experiences that taught me those lessons were not fun experiences. And yet, having learned from them, I'm better equipped to navigate similar situations in the future. Or perhaps the things that I've been through lend me a level of maturity that I can, with humility, pass on some sage counsel to another. Or at least try and help another person in an hour of their need. As we think about the epistle to the Philippians, an epistle of joy, when we come to chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, Paul is going to give us the secret to maturity. And that within a greater context of the joy of living a Christian life. Paul says he's got a goal. As we look at verse 12, he talks about obtaining something. And he said, I'm not already perfect, but I'm pressing on to make it my own. What goal are you talking about, Paul? What is it for which you are straining and for which you long? Well, I back up in chapter 3 and I come to verse 10, which we discussed together last month. Paul says, I want to know him, Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to share his sufferings. I want to become like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, my goal is to grow in Christ. I want to be more and more like Christ. I want to mature in Christ. Paul's going to share with us the secret of doing just that. If you drop down to verse 15, he says, let those of us who are mature think this way. The New King James says, have this mind. The New American Standard Bible translates this, have this attitude. Mature people will have an attitude like this, will have a mind like this, will think like this. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this also to you. Paul says the key to growth, the key to Christian maturity, is how you think. In fact, some have called the epistle to the Philippians, in addition to calling it the epistle of joy, they've also called it the epistle of decisions, the epistle of thinking. He told us back in chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, think not only for your own interests, but also the interests of others. He said in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, whatever I used to think was gain, I've counted it as loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul's talking about our thought processes, how we think. As we consider maturity, he says the key to maturity is in your thinking. Paul provides an inspiring and instructive path for growing in Christ-likeness. He shows us the way of mature thinking. 3 points in this text, 3 characteristics of mature thinking. Number 1, mature thinking is humble. Mature thinking includes humility. Notice the humility of Paul beginning at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. Paul says, I have a goal, but he's humble enough to say, I'm not there yet. I haven't gotten to where I want to be. I'm still a work in progress. In verse 13, he says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. He says, I'm not there yet. Mature people acknowledge that they have not yet arrived. There's still room for me to grow. There's still more for me to learn. This is especially true, isn't it, as it relates to the Christian life? Who among us, regardless of your tenure in Christianity, can say, I'm there. I've learned all I need to know. I've got it all down pat. Paul says mature thinking is humble thinking. But Paul hadn't always thought that way. It's not that Paul was humble just because he was sort of turned in that direction. This isn't merely the inclination of his personality or of his heart. In fact, when I go back in chapter 3 and I read that section where Paul is reading his pedigree, Paul says, you want to boast in the flesh? I can boast in the flesh. There was a time in my past when I did boast in the flesh. He says in verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now, bearing in mind that this includes verse 6, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. There was a time, Paul says, when I thought I was there. I thought I had arrived. I thought I had everything that I needed. What was the difference? Jesus came in, and I realized I have so much left to learn. I have so far left to go. I've counted all of these things in which I used to glory, in which I used to boast. Now I count them as loss. No, not just loss. I'm going backwards. They're a damage to who I should be. They're a detriment to where I'm trying to go. They're holding me back. And he says in verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Humility. It's interesting, isn't it, that Paul would be so forthcoming in his humility. I have not already obtained this goal. I don't want you to misunderstand what I just said, Paul's saying. I don't want you to think that I think I'm already there. Notice the quality of leadership that Paul is providing in this text. Paul doesn't believe that leadership is equal to lordship. Paul doesn't believe that leadership means authority, that I get to breathe down your throat and say, I'm up here and you're down there. Paul doesn't believe that leadership is, well, you're going to follow me because I am more important than you. You'll do what I say because I can talk louder than you. You'll do what I say because I'm more intimidating than you. Paul steps back in Philippians 3:12 and he says, maturity looks like humility. We're going on this journey together. And you can help me and I can help you. Not that I have already obtained. Not that I am already perfect. I do not consider that I have made it my own. I'm not there yet. If Paul, the inspired apostle, can say that, then who among us in this room should not also say the same? Mature thinking is humble thinking. But in the second place, Paul shows us that mature thinking includes passion. Passion. Notice how passionate Paul is as we come to verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, some people will use the acknowledgement that Paul has just made. I'm not there yet. I have more to learn. They'll use that as an excuse for complacency in the present. Some people will look at the goal and they'll say, you know what, not only am I not there, I'll never be there. Not only am I not acting like Jesus on a regular basis, I will never act like Jesus in perfection on a regular basis. By the way, I hope my voice isn't distracting to you. It doesn't hurt. It's just my annual meeting with fall, okay? It's a sign of good things to come, right? Fall is coming. All right, anyway. Paul says, hey, listen, I'm not going to use the reality of my humility as a reason to breed complacency in the present. He's passionate. And so he uses these statements. I'm pressing forward. I'm straining forward. I press on. He still exerts passion for his growth in Christ. This morning, you and I cannot afford to develop a passive attitude about the Christian life. We need passion and discipline to grow in Jesus. We understand that earning is not a good word in terms of Christianity. I can't earn my way into heaven. But we understand, nevertheless, that effort is a good word when we're talking about the Christian walk. It's going to take effort. It's going to take stepping out in faith. It's going to take action. Notice Paul's focus. He says in verse 13, one thing I do. Now I believe that one thing is pressing on, verse 14, toward the goal. But to explain how he does that, he says, first, he forgets. Forgetting what lies behind. If you're running, if you're pressing on toward a goal, you can't afford to look back. If you look behind you, you're going to lose momentum at the least. You're going to stumble at fall and fall at the worst. Paul says, I can't look back. I can't get distracted. I can't stumble. Because this goal that I have of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, of sharing in his sufferings, of having his heart in my heart, is too important for me to get distracted. Think about the things that could distract us in our past. First, I think about past sins. You want to talk about sins of the past? Paul can talk about sins of the past. He lists those on multiple occasions, one of which is 1 Timothy chapter 1, in which after describing his former lifestyle outside of Christ, he says, but these things serve as an example that if Jesus can forgive me, that he can also forgive you. Paul forgets the past failures, and presses on. Your past doesn't have to determine your future. We understand that sometimes there are consequences for the things that we've done. Sometimes those consequences are due to sin that we've committed. Sometimes those consequences are due to sin that somebody else has committed. But because of my relationship to that person, I sort of have to suffer through those things as well. I've got to deal with the reality of life because of the choices of myself or somebody else. But this morning, when it comes to your relationship with God and the sins of your past, deal with your sin in Christ, and then know that you are forgiven in Christ, and then forget about that past and run to Christ. Run forward. Keep going. You can't afford to let your forgiven past trip you up in your relationship with Jesus in the present. Paul said, I forget what lies behind. Forget your past mistakes. But may I also suggest that one of the things we need to leave in the rearview mirror would include our past achievements. Sometimes I can look so much in the past and I can rely so much on what I have done that I rest on my achievements and my accomplishments, and I let that facilitate complacency in the present. It's good to look back, and it's good to say, to God be the glory, great things He has done. But outside of that, let's just move on. Let's move forward. Let's keep pressing on. I've been in some congregations before that are so consumed with their glory days that are now days gone by that they fail to see the opportunities in the present. They honor their past. And hey, listen, don't get me wrong. We stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before. I love the rich history of this congregation. I think it's wonderful and fascinating. And I'm reading as much about it as I possibly can. But if I'm so focused on what those great and faithful, wonderful people did back then, that I fail to be faithful and working for Jesus in the present, then I'm really not honoring their legacy back then either, am I? And I'm certainly not honoring God. Forget what lies behind. Past victories don't justify present complacency. And successes, if we're not careful, can create an unhealthy tendency to cling to the glory days gone by. So what does Paul do? He says, one thing I do. I love this singular focus, don't you? One thing. I press on toward the goal, the objective, what's got my attention, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When I think about the call of God, I think about what Paul says to the church in Thessalonica when he says, we've been called by the message of the gospel, and how God has called us to Himself through this message and through the blood of a sinless sacrifice, our Savior, the Son of God, who makes it possible for me in coming to Him and being washed by that blood to be His, to wear His name, to be conformed to His image, to be with Him forever in heaven. The goal is Jesus. The goal is to know Jesus. The goal is to think like Jesus. The goal is to talk like Jesus. The goal is to act like Jesus in every possible way because of the prize that one day I will be with Jesus. And that is Paul's passion. That's his laser focus. And he says, one thing. That's the one thing I do. This morning, I know our lives are complex, multifaceted. But what's the one thing that your life is about? If you answer that question honestly, what's your one thing? But one thing I do. As we think about the power of identifying what my one thing is, think about the power that lies in changing just one thing to be more in conformity with this one goal that Paul has. If you could change just one thing today, to transform your life, to be more in conformity with that goal, a passion to know Jesus, to think like Him, to talk like Him, to walk like Him, so that one day you can be with Him. What's one thing that you could change, that I could change, to make that goal my reality? Paul's passionate about this. He says, one thing I do. Are you laser focused like that? Mature thinking is humble. Mature thinking is passionate. But in the third place this morning, mature thinking includes wonder. Wonder. Awe with respect to the gospel message. Look at how Paul puts it at the end of verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. You see what's motivating Paul? Christ has made me his. Look at the end of verse 14. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I am enamored with Jesus because Jesus in his love and mercy has made it possible for me to be his. And he calls me his. Sometimes when we talk about maturity in Christ, we talk about things we have to do. And hey, listen, there's no question. There are things God wants you to do to mature in Jesus. But aren't those things really, I want to use the word symptoms, aren't those external displays of an internal motive? And isn't maturity at its core, at the heart, in thinking about passion and focus? Isn't it this desire, maturity, a desire to grow deeper and deeper and deeper in Christ? And that's the message of the gospel. Sometimes we lose our love for Jesus because we have drifted away from the message of the gospel. That there's a Savior, the Savior, who left heaven to come here because he had to be made like us if he could die for us. God can't die. So the only way that God with us, that God can die for our sins, Jesus the Christ, is for him to come and to be made like us. And he lived that perfect life, yet without sin. And then he shed his innocent blood in my place. And now his tomb is empty and he ever lives making intercession for us. He is at this moment my advocate. He is at this moment my propitiation, my substitutionary atoning sacrifice. And one day he is coming to take me home. I don't know what that sound meant. Did y'all hear that? Okay. Not just me. This is a message that should never get old. And as Paul discusses his mature thinking, he says at the heart of it all is the fact that Christ Jesus took him in as his own. Keep treasuring grace. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep relying on his power. Never stop marveling at the gospel. In verse 16, he says, only let us hold true, conform to the standard of, keep in line with what we have attained. All right, Paul says, I'm not there yet. I'm still working toward this goal. But in my process of working toward that goal, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to take the maturity that I've got so far and I'm going to stand on that as I reach forward to what's still in front of me. To what I have left to learn, to the experiences that I can gain, to growing my heart more into conformity to the heart of Jesus. Gareth Rees in his commentary said, the condition for future enlightenment is to walk according to present light. So I'm where I am now. And I'm not where I want to be. Because ultimately where I want to be is with Jesus. I want to know him better. I want to live like him. I want my heart to reflect the heart of Jesus. But the fact that I'm not there yet isn't an excuse for me to give up or for me to do nothing today. No, I'm forgetting what's behind. I'm pressing on. I'm reaching forward. And I'm doing that all in the wonder of this love that I can never exhaust. the depths of which I will never fully mine or excavate. Mature thinking includes humility, passion, and wonder. All this reminds me of what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12. Coming off of the great hall of the faithful, the writer says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Paul says, the Hebrews writer here, but echoing the words of Paul in Philippians 3, says, "You got to forget what's behind. I'm going to cast off that sin that tries to cling to me. And I'm focusing on Jesus and looking to him with patient endurance, knowing that he focused on me when he went to the cross." This morning, keep running to Jesus. Keep growing in Jesus. We're closer to him today than we were yesterday. Keep running till you see him. Don't let your past trip you up. Focus on him. And let everybody who's mature, Paul says, think like this. It's true for every person in this room. We're not there yet. But this morning, if there's sin that you need to deal with to get you closer to him, please do that today. If it's something you need to take care of privately, then do that. But if this morning you're ready to become a Christian and begin your journey with Jesus, growing closer and closer to him so that one day you'll see him as he is and be like him, then we invite you to respond to heaven's invitation to put on your Lord in baptism. Listen, we're ready. The water's ready. We got clothes into which you can change. We would be honored to assist you in baptism this morning based on your faith in him, your willingness to turn from sin, to confess that he's the Son of God and to die with him in baptism. This morning, if you need the prayers of this group of people, maybe you've acted in immature ways. You haven't been humble. You haven't really had passion for Jesus. You've lost the wonder of the message of the gospel. Maybe what you need is prayers and encouragement from this group of people. We're here for you. We want to help you as we help each other. Come to the front if you need to. Always stand and sit.